Welcome to Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interview with the candidates. These interviews are provided as a service to those who want to be informed and educated voters. Venango County Tea Party Patriots is an affiliate of the National Tea Party Patriots, a grassroots organization of voters interested in protecting our Constitution and keeping elected officials accountable to their oath of office. Local meetings are held on the fourth Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. unless otherwise noted in the newspaper or on our email list. If you consider yourself a patriot and would like to be a part of this group, you can email jane at vcTPP.org. That's jane at vcTPP.org or call 814-671-7110. That's 814-671-7110. And now to our interview. Our guest today is Deborah Lutz, who is the Democratic candidate for county commissioner in the 2015 primary. We're glad to have you with us today, Deb.
Thank you, Jane. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Well, we'll get right into our questions today. First of all, can you give us a short synopsis of why you want to run for this position of Venango County Commissioner and what qualifications you bring to the job?
Sure, I would love to. I have devoted my professional and personal life for over 20 years to the community that I love, and I do look forward to continuing that commitment in the office of County Commissioner. For me, being a county commissioner is the office where you can make a difference. And I believe the qualifications that I bring to this job are the experience. I have 8 years' experience as a county commissioner. I have 20 years' experience as an economic developer. I have experience in banking and finance. I have experience in workforce development. I have experience in industry recruitment and retention. And I also hold a master's degree in business. So I think all of those things combined make me uniquely qualified for the position of Venango County Commissioner.
The next question we have is that there's an allotment of time required to do the job, and what's your estimate of that time that you feel would be adequate to accomplish the commissioner's duties?
Well, I believe that the commissioners are paid as full-time and should work full-time, and so I will. If I am elected, I will resign from my current position as Vice President of Economic Development for the Oil Region Alliance and devote my time, my energy, and my focus to the commissioner's office and all that it entails. Can be a very complex position. It's not a 40-hour-a-week job by no means. There's a lot of evening meetings, meetings over the weekends, conferences that you have to travel to, those kind of things. And in between, reading that you need to keep up on all the things that are happening in the county. So it is definitely a full-time plus position, and I would definitely approach it as that.
Now, you're running for this position as a Democratic candidate.
As a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been a member of the Democratic Party, and why?
I am a lifelong Democrat, Jane. I was raised by working-class parents who believed in the Democratic Party. And while I may be a little bit more conservative in my outlook than my parents, I still believe that loyalty has a role in political life and that I believe in the principles of middle-class America. So those are my reasons why I am a Democrat.
Now, a commissioner takes an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. What does that mean to you as you consider the position of this public service position?
Well, my belief is that the constitutions, both federal and state, should be respected and that the county should pass nothing that contradicts the basic laws of our nation and our Commonwealth, regardless of whether anyone will ever challenge the policy. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I read of a community that adopted an ordinance restricting the placement of political signs, which we will all be seeing here shortly. Mm-hmm. The solicitor in this particular community pointed out that political speech is protected and that the ordinance would not survive a judicial challenge. The governing board responded that no one was likely to go to the expense of a challenge, and so the ordinance was allowed to stand. And as far as I know, it still does.
So now this question is about what your philosophy is on balancing the budget of the county and what priorities you would apply there.
Well, the laws of Pennsylvania do require a balanced budget, and when I am a commissioner, I will ensure that the county's budget will be balanced, just as I did before. There are certain services that the county is mandated to supply. The jail and mental health development services are two. The largest portion of the county's overall budget is the Human Services Fund. We have a total budget in the county of over $53 million. But the general fund, that portion over which the county, via the commissioners, have any control, is just over $18.2 million, or 34% of the entire revenue budget. I will say that Venango County was one of the first counties in the state to institute a block grant system for the mental health development services, which has allowed the county to have the flexibility to put funds in the services that are needed locally. I think this is especially important because the need for those types of services will continue to grow in our county. And approximately 62% of the general fund services are funded via our tax dollars. So that's very important to me and to a lot of people. The largest general fund expense, 37%, is in the form of salaries. Our total budget for expenses comes in at over $55.9 million. And again, the general fund portion of that expense side of the budget is $18.2 million, or 32.6% of the entire budget. So it is important to closely monitor the budget to maintain a sound financial position.
Now, as a commissioner, they serve on a lot of boards, and of all the boards that the commissioners are required to be a part of, what area of county government most interests you?
Well, hands down for me, the Workforce Investment Board. I have always been very passionate about workforce training, and I've been working for years to continue to address the issue of having a well-trained workforce here locally. Of special importance is the incoming Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, or otherwise known as WIOA, which will go into effect July 1. WIOA will make a number of improvements to the public workforce system and its delivery of services to job seekers, workers, and employers. Local elected officials will have a key role in contributing to the strategic planning and structure of workforce services. Under WIOA, the local elected officials will have the authority to request local area designation, which is important, appoint the members of the newly constituted local boards, and serve or designate the local grant recipient. WIOA will be complicated, and it will take a commissioner who has the experience and knowledge of past job training programs to be able to keep Venango County at the forefront of workforce development issues. I served as an elected official on the Workforce Development Board previously and was the chair of the Chief Local Elected Official Boards. And I was in the position to warn the rural counties about the direction the WIB was taking back then. We were forced to merge with Erie County, and so we have a very urban county mixed in with five rural counties. One of the reasons I want to go back on the WIB is to make sure that rural counties do not get shortchanged again in the future, like I feel we have been since that forced merger back in the late 90s. Beyond workforce development, I would be interested in serving on other economic development-related boards that commissioners are appointed to and human services boards.
The next question is a kind of a concern for some of our citizens here. Many of our citizens have concerns about how the UN policies regarding Agenda 21 come into play and how it will affect our county and communities. Can you address this concern?
Well, my response is, how could something that sounds so good be bad? Who want to be sustainable, vibrant, walkable, bikeable, or green? one of the greatest challenges in government is recognizing those things that sound good but have very bad consequences. Sustainable development was created and defined by the United Nations in 1987, and the action plan to implement it was signed onto in 1992 by then-President Bush and 178 other nations. So it was called Agenda 21, the Agenda for the 21st Century. Considered unsustainable under this plan was middle-class lifestyle, single-family homes, private vehicles, meat eating, air conditioning appliances, and others. So Agenda 21 may be a goal of the United Nations, but it is not a goal of mine. And I personally believe that it will never be a factor in the United States because too many of us oppose it. America is a sovereign nation, and if someone agrees with the principles involved, America should still never give up control to an outside entity. So bottom line is that the sovereignty of the United States is critical to me, and I believe to the vast majority of our citizens. We elect our representatives, and they are in Washington and in Harrisburg, not in the United Nations. It is important that America make the decisions for America.
Okay, the next question I have here is, can you explain what is meant by a land bank, and is this something our county government should be involved in?
Well, according to the land bank ordinance passed by the commissioners in 2014, the purpose of the land bank is to return vacant, abandoned, and tax-delinquent properties within the county to productive use as part of the larger goal of combating blight, creating economic growth, and stabilizing the housing and job markets. There is a definite issue with blighted housing in our county. The issue is we have a lot of absentee landowners that buy these properties from the judicial sale or from the repository, just as they can do via the land bank ordinance. What I believe we need to have is tougher enforcement here with the absentee landlords, and I believe some of the blight issues will be corrected. While I understand the intent of the ordinance, my concern is that having a land bank can actually be a deterrent from development. Our county has a declining population and a death rate that exceeds the birth rate. We should not fight sprawl until there is actually sprawl to fight against.
Number nine questions out of our 10 is, we have a little bit of a hot-button issue in our area, and it's regarding the Oil City parking garage. Can you give us your opinion on the current issue facing our county regarding that Oil City parking garage and the ultimate plan for that property? Pros, cons, sure. Whatever.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, I am in favor of the multimodal transportation facility that is being proposed where the current condemned parking ramp in Oil City sits. I was part of the team that submitted the Redevelopment Assistant Capital Project, or RACP, grant application for $3.1 million to raise that property as part of the overall $11.3 million proposed project. Since the ramp closed in 2011, the city has not had the funds to demolish it. Further complicating the issue is the size of the parcel, which is not as large as one may think, and that has made it very difficult to attract a buyer for the property. For the county, I know that if they are not successful in receiving the $3.1 million grant, they will not go forward with the project. The big argument in favor of the project is that Oil City can never deal with the parking ramp on its own. Mm-hmm. But one of the jobs of the commissioners should be to put property back on the tax rolls. And while the garage is not currently on the tax rolls, it would be nice to have development there that was in private hands. Mm-hmm. Since that is not likely to happen, and since Oil City needs to deal with the garage issue, county involvement may be the only avenue. So some of the pros that I see with this is this will provide reuse of this site in a manner that will serve as a catalyst for private reinvestment in surrounding overall businesses around the parking ramp, as well as better serving clients who utilize the county's transportation system. Those are mostly our senior citizens, as well as some clients who will utilize the Pennsylvania Career Link office, which is located right across the street from the proposed multimodal transportation facility. There's also the ability to have some job creation through the commitment and reuse of vacant underutilized commercial properties, retain and strengthen current jobs as a key component of downtown economic revitalization, and some increased tax revenue through development of tourism-related businesses. Because this is a multimodal transportation facility that's being proposed, and it's also located right along the Erie to Pittsburgh trail route in downtown Oil City, there is the opportunity for some trail-related businesses there. Mm-hmm. The cons that I've identified with this project are that the property is not being developed by a private developer, and if the county doesn't receive the funding, the project will not go forward, setting Oil City back to the drawing board.
Mm, yeah, and we can still hope that maybe someone could step forward on that. Who knows?
Well, you do, but, you know, it costs a lot of money to demolish those kind of facilities because there's asbestos in there, and there's, you know, all kinds of issues, and so it really takes, you know, it's going to take that public-private partnership to make it work.
Right, right. Okay, and the last question we have for you today. Since the commissioners serve on the election board in a non-election year, of course, what steps do you think need to be taken to make sure that our elections are free from voter fraud and machine malfunction?
As I understand, Governor Wolf and Acting Secretary of State Pedro Cortez are pushing for election reform, especially online voter registration, which would allow voters to cast ballots prior to Election Day. There is, in the 2002 Voter Registration Act, authorization to design and use an electronic registration system, but none has been implemented to date. And the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania has indicated that some logistical details need to be worked out, but the counties that run the elections support the change. Some of the benefits of online registration include enhanced accuracy and savings from reduced reliance on paper forms and labor-intensive data entry. Residents could register to vote from personal computers as long as their driver's license or non-driver IDs match PennDOT records. I know in Michigan, for example, you have to be registered to vote when you buy a car. Mm-hmm. So some advocates feel that online registration would increase voter registration, especially among young people, because they are used to doing almost all of their business transactions online. The bottom line for me is I've served on election boards. From everything that I have seen, Venango has had remarkably fair elections, and I'm a Democrat, not on the winning side of many contested races. In my view, people in Venango tend to be honest, and they take their privilege to vote very seriously.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. It's one of the advantages of living in small rural community like we do. Everyone knows everyone. Okay, thank you, Deb. Well, we appreciate you taking time to take part in these interviews, and we wish you luck.
Thank you very much, Jane. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interviews with the candidates. We encourage all voters to vote. Every election is important. It is a patriot's duty to exercise this right. Thank you for taking time to be an informed voter. Please continue to check our website at www.vctpp.org for more educational resources.